Howdy, folks. You're listening to the brand new Small City, Big Personality podcast, risen like a phoenix from the ashes to fulfill all your local entertainment needs. I'm Colin McSloy. You might know my reviews from such online publications as Small City Big Personality or my plus-size modelling work for Giacomo Catalogue. Equally, you might have no idea who I am and be wondering, what the hell is going on? Either way, Southern Fried Festival is coming up later this month, so we thought we'd make this new edition of Small City Big Personality podcast a Southern Fried Summer Sizzler. And what a sizzler it is. I've managed to obtain an interview with Graham Nash of the Hollies and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young fame. Graham tells us all about the time he caught Little Richard tearing Jimi Hendrix a new one backstage at Madison Square Gardens in New York.
We heard Little Richard screaming, coming off the stage. Screaming, don't you ever play the guitar behind your head again. Stop playing the guitar with your teeth, I'm Little Richard and you can't upstage me.
Graham also gives us a bit of information behind the songwriting and recording process of his latest album, This Path Tonight, and tells us about his strained relationship with one of his former Crosby, Stills and Nash bandmates.
I just don't like him, and quite frankly, we can't make magic music.
If that wasn't enough, we've also got an interview with Andy Shearer, the man behind Southern Fried Festival, who tells us all about booking acts, how the festival started, and even gives us a little bit of background on his friendship with Will Oldham of Bonnie Prince Billy fame.
He's an interesting character. He's always doing something interesting. He never, you know, kind of never rests on his laurels. But, you know, you will say that, you know, Scottish traditional music is a big, big part of what he does.
All this plus we've got an audio rundown of events going on in Perth and the surrounding area this month. First up, though, this interview with Graham Nash.
Hello.
Hello, is that Graham Nash?
It is, yes.
Hi, Graham. It's Colin from Small City Big Personality magazine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I'm alive.
That's a good start.
It's a great start.
It is a great start. Yes, I just phone in today. It's a great pleasure to be speaking to you. Just phone in today to talk to you about your upcoming show at the Southern Fried Festival in Perth later this year.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to it tremendously.
Superb. How did you come to be playing at the Southern Fried Festival?
I just wanted to play places that I hadn't played in years. And I asked my new manager, Mark Spector, you know, to book me small intimate theatres where I can see people's eyes and know if I'm making a connection. And quite frankly, I love Scotland. And after our last show, which is in Dublin in Ireland, I'm going to go to the Highlands for a couple of weeks.
Whereabouts in the Highlands will we be staying?
I fly to Edinburgh, spend a few days in Edinburgh, and then hire a car, and then I'm going to drive to Glencoe and spend a few days in Glencoe, and then go to the Isle of Skye and see that.
Well, that'll be amazing.
And I'm fascinated. I've been reading a couple of books on Culloden, and I'm fascinated to see that battlefield.
Did you ever play Perth when you were with the Hollies or even with...
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so. But my memories of Scotland were of Barrowlands Ballroom in Glasgow where, you know, one night 70 girls fainted because of the heat and the how many people were packed into there. But, yeah, the Barrowlands Ballroom in Glasgow, what a memory.
Yeah,
and you know, quite frankly, who doesn't love Outlander?
One of those questions I was going to ask you, now, this tour, you're going to be doing songs from the Hollies, your solo albums, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Because you've been writing songs for so long now, is it quite difficult to decide what the final set list is going to be when you've got so many songs to draw from?
It wasn't really difficult. I've been on the road as a solo artist, you know, with my friend Shane Fontaine for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be bringing not only Shane but Todd Caldwell, who's the B3 organ player in the Crosby, Stills and Nash band. So there'll be three of us, and I'm going to be making music from my entire life, and that's one of the reasons that I put out Over the Years. Because there had never been one of those greatest hits of my music. certainly of the Hollies and certainly of Crosby, Stills and Nash, but not my music alone. And I found out from my fans, you know, which songs they keep shouting out and which ones they expect to hear. And I made a nice musical journey on those 15 songs. Mm-hmm. And then to make it a little different, I put in all the, you know, 15 demos. And, you know, 12 of which had never been heard before.
You're going to be telling a little bit about the background behind some of the songs when you play it.
Yeah, because I think people that love music are quite mystified with the art of songwriting. You know, where do they come from? What was your head like? What were you thinking when you wrote Wind on the Water, Just the Song Before I Go, and Immigration Man? What were you thinking that created these songs? And I tell them the story. And, it, you know, it'll be fine when I get to England and Scotland, but, you know, being able to tell stories in Germany when I don't know the language, that's going to be interesting, but I'll manage.
You'll get there.
Yeah, I'll get there.
So you're playing with Shane Fontaine and Todd. Is it a trio that you're touring with at the moment then?
That's right, just the three of us.
And so you've played with some of the greatest musicians of the last 50 years. How does your current setup, how does it feel, the band you're in at the moment?
I'm a lucky guy, man. Yeah. You know, I'm this kid from the north of England, from a very poor family. And I found out I had a gift for singing, and I concentrated on that and exercised that singing muscle and kept it alive and pumped full of blood. And I've been here a long time. I'm now 76 years old, and I'm still passionate about the music.
And your most recent album, This Path Tonight, yeah. I'd heard you'd written the songs in just around about a month, about 20 songs. Is that right?
Yeah, I wrote 20 songs with Shane Fontaine, and we wrote 20 songs in a month. And we recorded those 20 songs in 8 days. And there were 10 songs on the record, 13 if you buy the deluxe version from Amazon or something. Uh-huh. So that means we have 7 left that we like. I'm continuing to write. Shane is continuing to write. So while we're on tour, we'll be putting the next record together.
And so do you think this is going to be a long-lasting kind of songwriting partnership, you and Shane going forward?
Yep, I love writing with Shane because he's a guitar player that wants to support the song, not just, you know, do a flashy solo.
So quite a generous musician. He's not necessarily about showing off what he can do. He just wants to do what's right for the particular song at that time.
Absolutely. And Shane saw the Hollies when he was 12 years old.
That's great. I love it when you kind of hear stories like that. And then he ends up kind of playing.
Really?
Yeah. My favourite song from This Path Tonight is Myself at Last.
Mine too.
It's an amazing song. Tell me a little bit about how that came to be written.
When we booked the studio starting on a Monday. And on Sunday, of course, the crew take all the equipment in there and, you know, unpack the drums and the bass and the guitars and stuff. And then Sunday night, the band has to come in and sit down and play something so that we can make sure that it's all plugged in correctly into the board and the recording equipment. Myself at Last was the first attempt at the first song we ever tried. And that became the master. And that as a musician, that's magic.
It does have that kind of immediacy. I mean, because do you know what it reminded me of a wee bit? You know, something from Blood on the Track. That kind of thing.
Fantastic.
Just a simple arrangement and just kind of...
What a fine compliment, thank you.
No, that's it, but it is. Like, even like with the harmonica solo and the lyric is like unusual because everyone's always talking about finding themselves these days.
Right.
And what do you mean by losing yourself at last?
Sometimes you go on the road to forget, you know, your present situation. I mean, I know it's wonderful being married. I know it's wonderful having kids. But sometimes you just need a break, you know, because you lose yourself because of your wife or your girlfriend and your kids. And by the time, you know, they've grown up, you kind of lose a sense of yourself. But you find it on the road.
Right.
because there's only me there. You know, I'm alone inside. I mean, I know everybody's alone, obviously, mm-hmm. but I want to lose myself in the music and in the travel and in different cities. But in the last verse, you'll realize that I found myself at last.
So fast, I'm drowning in my dreams. It's so hard to fight the past. When all is said and done, it's so hard to count the cost. Myself at last. this lonesome road, and I've found myself at last.
The recording process was quite quick as well. How did that kind of compare to, like, when you did record with Crosby, Stills and Nash? Was that quite a quick process as well, or was that?
Well, maybe. For instance, you know, when the Hollies' first record was done in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Because we did our 45-minute set of Dynamite and did that twice and chose the record from those songs. So that happened in a couple of hours. You know, me and David and Stephen made Daylight Again, and it made it through two Super Bowls.
Jinx.
So there you go.
And I've heard an interesting story, because I think people love to hear these little kind of insights, the things that you maybe see backstage when you're touring, but I can't remember where I heard this, but I've heard that you'd seen Little Richard in the early days, and Jimi Hendrix used to play in bands. He used to play with Curtis Mayfield and Little Richard, and you heard them laying into Jimi Hendrix. Do you remember that? What happened there?
I do indeed. The Hollies played the Paramount Theatre in Times Square in New York in 1965.
Uh-huh.
The headline of the show was Little Richard, and we are obviously big Little Richard fans, and we'd watch from the side of the stage. And then one night, we heard Little Richard screaming coming off the stage, screaming, "Don't you ever play the guitar behind your head again. Stop playing the guitar with your teeth. I'm Little Richard and you can't upstage me." And that was Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, that's crazy. You've said recently, I mean, I've kind of watched all the interviews before I can find you to do a wee bit of research, and you've made it pretty clear that the situation with David Crosby, it's unlikely that you're going to make music together. I mean, it would be pretty exceptional circumstances if you did. Do you still see Neil Young and Stephen Stills, though?
You know, I've always loved me and Stephen singing together. We have an incredible blend, and it's very different than the three of us, or it's very different than me and David. But you can hear it on the last verse of Woodstock, our record. You know, that's me singing two-part with Stephen, and we have a good blend. I'd be very interested in making music with Stephen. And quite frankly, I spoke to Crosby probably every day for 45 years, and I haven't spoken to him in 2 years, not one word.
And I think it would take something from his side for that to change, basically.
It would have to take a miracle to want me to work with David again. We first sang together in Joni's living room on that day in early 1967. My life changed. I knew that I would have to go back to England and leave the Hollies and leave my family and friends and get on with the rest of my life following this incredible sound that we had created when we put out three voices and tried to make them sound like one voice.
I mean, you must be the I think harmony singer-wise, you've got Crosby, Stills and Nash. For me, the Everly Brothers and the Beach Boys. Sometimes you just get I don't know what it is, but you just get a particular blend that just.
And you know what it is? Genetics.
Genetics, yeah.
Yeah. Don and Phil, the Everly Brothers, were singing since you're born from the same mother and father, and singing since they were four. You know, and it's the same with the Beach Boys. They were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain genetic connection that makes it different.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I have a great blend with Alan Clark from the Hollies.
Yeah.
And I have a great blend with David and Stephen. But we're not brothers. And there's something about the genetic connection that the Everly Brothers and people like the Beach Boys have.
Mm-hmm.
Even beyond the Beatles, you know.
Yeah.
Because the Beatles weren't brothers.
But you think it's just the amount of time that they've spent together?
Yeah. The Beatles were only together 7 years.
But the amount of time they spent playing was crazy, wasn't it?
Totally not.
Yeah.
Totally crazy, yeah.
Now, My girlfriend, when I'm doing interviews, always asks me to ask, because she's animal crazy, do you have any pets?
No.
None at all? Is that just because traveling makes it difficult, or...?
Yes, yes, that's exactly the reason. And, I love dogs. You know, I'm not a cat person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is. I never had a dog when I was a kid, you know, and never had a cat when I was a kid either. I think the first pet we ever had was a tortoise that my dad stood on.
And when you come to Perth, do you think you'll be doing a signing after the show at all?
Probably.
Yeah, because I'd quite like to get the vinyl of this past tonight, so I'll maybe see you there and get you to sign it, and hopefully I'll be doing a review of the show as well, so I'll get a quick...
It's not a problem, Colin. I hope to see you there.
No bother, and enjoy the tour. You're going to some amazing places by the looks of it, so I hope you have a good time.
I'm gonna try my best, kid.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Love you.
Place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long. Call me, only for me. Come to me now.
Next up, we've got another small city big personality interview, this time with Andy Shearer, the man behind the Southern Fried Festival. Now, Southern Fried might be the event on everyone's mind here at the Small City Podcast, but there's loads of other great stuff to do in Perth over the next few weeks. Check out www.smallcitybigpersonality.co.uk/what's-on for all the details. First up, boating on the Tay. Now, summer's the perfect time for messing around in the river, so why not get yourself down to the Ferguson Pontoon for daily boat trips to Elko Castle, Willowgate and Broughty Ferry. This will be running until the end of September. Next up is the Spartan Race for all you hardcore fit fans out there. Spartan comes to Perth on the 15th of September. Will you scale that wall? Perth Racecourse Gold Day on the 1st of August mixes two of Perthshire's largest sports into one big day out. Check it out. Scone Palace are welcoming Scotland's leading tribal band, Clan and Drummer, on Sunday the 20th of August for a fantastic day of live music and family fun. Finally, step back in time and uncover the true spirit of the Viking Age at Perth Museum in their family-friendly exhibition on until September the 23rd. And remember, check out www.smallcitybigpersonality.co.uk/what's-on for all this and more. Jings, is that the time? Better give Andy a ring.
Hello?
Hi, can I speak to Andy Shearer, please?
Hi, speaking.
Hi, Andy. It's Colin from Small City Big Personality.
Oh, hi, Colin. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. I just went in to do a wee interview for this upcoming podcast that we're doing.
Yeah, no problem.
We're hoping to make a kind of Southern Fried theme for the very first one. So.
Okay, cool.
I was going to start by asking you, what gave you the idea for the original Southern Fried Festival over 10 years ago?
Well, when we opened the hall, I think we were all conscious that, one, we needed, you know, some signature events in the calendar rather than just having a succession of, you know, one-off events.
Yeah.
And also that we also needed to create some events in the summertime when people aren't touring and there's no obvious product to put in a concert hall, bluntly. So festivals were always part of the vision, and Americana made sense. You know, there's a good history of it in Perth and the surrounding area, and also there was a gap in the market, we felt. I mean, American roots music's featured in a lot of different festivals. Mm-hmm. There's not really a concentrated weekend one anywhere else in Scotland, mm-hmm. or certainly wasn't at that point. And then the timing we thought worked because we deliberately scheduled it towards the end of July to tie in with Cambridge Folk Festival and summertime at the Sage in Gateshead, which was starting up around, I think it started a year before us.
And was it always intended to be an annual event, or was it a one-off the very first year?
I suppose if it had been a disaster, then that would have been it. But yeah, the plan was for it to build it into an annual fixture, yeah, which thankfully we've been able to do.
And do you think Americana music is something that's always gone down pretty well in Scotland then?
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets overplayed a little bit sometimes because mm-hmm. it's big everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we probably like it and connect it a bit more than most people, but I think certainly talking to artists, they'll certainly tell you they get a better reception in Scotland and Ireland, particularly compared to the rest of the UK. And I suppose, you know, most of it has grown out of old time, which grew into bluegrass and country. And most of the artists we do are kind of offshoots of those scenes. And, you know, the bedrock of so much of that music came from Scotland and Ireland in the first place. So there is that thing. And I think we've also... And the other thing, I think, that unites all the different things that we do within the festival, because it does cover a lot of different styles, is, I guess, the song is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And authenticity is a big thing. And I think that's something Scottish people are attracted to across all genres of music, actually, more so than other places, perhaps.
Now, I've read in Nicky's article on you that you, when you were on a trip to America as a youngster, you met up with Will Oldham of Bonnie Prince Billy fame.
It was the other way around, actually.
Was it the other way around? Sorry.
Yeah, he came... Well, I grew up in Glen Lyon, there was a crowd of folk who used to rent out the big house on the estate that we lived on every summer, and they were all connected by a youth theatre group. The woman that booked the thing every year ran the theatre, and the people that came with her varied every year, but they were all connected to the theatre group in some way. And I think Will and his brothers were were both in the group, so they were over with their family. And the three brothers were roughly ages with me and my brothers, so we kind of hung out a bit and kept in touch. And then Will came back over, God, a few years later when he was studying, we kind of hung out and started talking about music and swapping tapes and stuff. So yeah, long before either of us were even thinking about working in the music business.
And you still keep in touch today?
Yeah, see him every so often. And he's, you know, he's an interesting character.
He's prolific as well, isn't he? Some amount of output that he has.
Yeah, he keeps himself busy. And he's all, you know, he's always doing something interesting. He never, you know, kind of never rests on his laurels. But, you know, you will say that, you know, Scottish traditional music is a big, big part of what he does. And, it's, you know, it's part of the foundation of his aesthetic, I suppose.
And have you ever booked him for anything?
Yeah, quite a few times. Had him in the various palace guises when I worked up in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
When he was just starting out. And we helped put together the tour he did with the traditional band Harum Scarum a few years ago, which we did in the theatre.
I saw him in Perthshire.
Really lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
speaking of big names, this year you've got acts like Graham Nash and Steve Errol. How do you go about beginning to book such big acts?
I suppose we're fairly well established at this stage. If artists are going to be around during our period, then we'll tend to find out. We'll either target specific acts, and we'll also tend to do a mail out to everybody, just once we've confirmed the dates and so on, just to let them know we're there. So, getting headliners is always tough.
Mm-hmm.
It was looking tough this year, and we did something that we don't normally do, and we're actually flying a few people over, especially. I mean, normally we can't afford to do that, but we've got two or three acts who are performing in quite small ensembles, so it kind of made sense, mm-hmm. and thankfully it's paid off. So yeah, we're bringing Rodney Crowell, Iris Dement, Daryl Scott, and Gretchen Peters over especially. And I think I think that's helped, that they're not doing the circuit the same as everyday upses. You know, it does give us more of a USP this year, I suppose.
Has there ever been an act that you really wanted to book for Southern Fried and just weren't able to get?
There's a permanent wish list, and you know, we're kind of taking names off it every year, but yeah, there's still one or two. Emily would be the one.
Emily would be great.
Yeah. And that looked like it might be a possibility at one stage in the last couple of years, but we're still hopeful. Bonnie Raitt, John Hyatt, who I thought we were getting this year as well. Those would be the big ones, I think.
Now I had my first day with my girlfriend Jo at last year's Southern Fried Festival with the Chuck Berry tribute.
All right.
I believe you also found love at Southern Fried. Could you tell us a wee bit about that?
No, that was South by Southwest.
Oh, God. So tell us about that then.
Do you mean you met her there, or that was your first
date? Basically what happened was I've always loved Southern Fried, and I went to all the gigs before I got offered the freelance gig by Nicky. And I'd agreed to do everything, and at the last minute I've got a friend who's got kids and he couldn't accompany me to anything, so I was just kind of phoning around people I knew that were interested in music, and that's how I ended up going with Joe, and the rest kind of history. So I had a couple of days last year at Southern Fried. So last year's Southern Fried will always be a wee bit special for me.
Oh, that's good to know.
So it was South by Southwest then that you guys met?
Yeah, that's right. My now wife was studying there at University of Texas, and I was out there for South by Southwest, and yeah, we crossed paths, and one thing led to another, and now she's been living in Perth for about 12 years, and we've got
an 11-year-old boy, so who's probably going to perform at Southern Fried this year. They've opened up Southern Fried Rock Shop to younger kids this year, so I think he's going to do that. That's always a really nice part of the festival, anyway.
And who does the Southern Fried Rock Shop?
Say that again?
Who is it that does the Southern Fried Rock
Shop? It's Ali Pibworth.
Right. So it's just like the Rock Shop, but...
Yeah, but they do an intense... It's an intense week-long thing leading up to Southern Fried. And we always try and get some of the visiting artists to go down and work with the kids as well. So I think Yola Carter and Whiskey Shivers are going to go down and do workshops with them, as well as some local tutors. And then for the last few years, we've had young people from the group opening the outdoor stage on the Saturday and Sunday. So they get, you know, it's a great week for them. They get to perform a pretty decent crowd. And we also try and get them into as many shows as we can. We can squeeze them into as well, so it's a really good learning experience for them.
Yeah, I've always been impressed by how quickly kids learn things. I saw a couple of the rock shop, the workshop gigs at the TAMS, and it kind of makes you depressed. As someone who still dabbles and kind of playing the guitar and bass, like just how quickly they get a hang of it, you know?
Yeah, it's frightening. And that's something. The visiting tutors are always really blown away by the talent the kids have here, actually.
And just the kind of fearlessness to go up on stage at such a young age and just get over that kind of fear.
Yeah, it doesn't feel
before it gets a hold of you, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I really enjoyed... Were you involved in the Monday Night Thing series?
Yeah, that's my baby as well.
I really enjoyed the last series of gigs. Do you have anything special lined up for when it returns?
Yeah, we've got some good ones. The one we'll open with is going to be really nice, actually. Catherine Joseph is going to do that in the middle. Can't remember the exact date. It's middle of September. She's releasing her second album. The first one won the Say Award, and then she was here. She was here as part of Outlines at the Monday Night Thing in whenever that was, February. And it's not just going to be a regular gig. She's hooked up with Theatre Cryptic, who are a really interesting performance and theatre company. They've done a lot of work with music, so there's going to be specially commissioned lighting and costumes, along with Catherine playing the new record as well. So I'm really interested to see how that turns out. And we've got some local folk as usual. Roberta Cassani and Owen Nicholson are going to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
Wolf Train are going to open for a great Texas blues guy called Lightning Willie.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some great songwriters. Eden Muffett and Aaron Hubbard are coming. Roddy Woomble, Brian Kennedy. I've got some jazz again. Got Jim Mullen coming with the trio. Yeah, and a couple of traditional things. Great instrumental band called Dive. And Emily Smith, who's a fantastic traditional singer, is doing a Christmas show to end the season at the beginning of December.
The folk music there is great, because I've always been, I don't know, kind of come from a more kind of rock and kind of pop background, and just seeing the McCusker, Doyle and McGoldrick, it's just how kind of funky folk music can be.
Oh yeah.
And it's just kind of quite eye-opening, and since then I've kind of got a wee bit more into it. That isn't necessarily what you think is.
No, it hasn't been for a long time. And there's a conveyor belt of really talented young bands coming through now. You know, and some of them stick to the more traditional stuff, but you know, some of the fusion things that have been going on are amazing. There's a band called Elephant Sessions that are just tearing it up now.
Yeah, I saw them as well. They're
already building up a really big following.
Yeah.
There's another band, Tidelines, who are kind of a bit more of an old school folk rock kind of thing, but they're going to be massive and are well on the way already. And then you've got bands like Treacherous Orchestra and Nightworks that are really pushing the boundaries as well.
And just before we kind of sign off, I thought I'd ask you, with Southern Fried coming up, what is your all time favourite country song or Americana song?
Oh, Jesus.
Or even at the moment.
God, got me there. If you put me on the spot, I would have to say Gospel Train by Larry, old school bluegrass gospel number.
Make sure that I follow straight after this then, just so people can hear what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like deep old school gospel with amazing harmonies.
I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with heaven on my mind. Lord, I dreamed of a train, was a glory bound train. I wonder, will my children be on that train? I wonder, will my mama be on that train? I wonder, will my mama be on that train? Oh, this train's a gospel train. It's running through this land. I wonder, will my mama be on that train? I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with heaven on my mind. Lord, I dreamed of a train, was a glory-bound train. I wonder, will my children be on that train? I wonder, will my daddy be on that train? I wonder, will my daddy be on that train? Oh, this train's a gospel train, and it's running through this land. I wonder, will my daddy be on that train? I just can't keep from crying sometimes. Just can't keep from crying sometimes. When I look around and see what the Lord has done for me, I still wonder, will my children be on that train? I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with heaven on my mind. Lord, I dreamed of a train, was a glory-bound train. I wonder, will my children be on that train?